Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pistol again for Penix. It's first and five at the 19 after the penalty on the Bills. Buffalo adds another man to the front. They're going to hand to Robinson. Right side through the first wall around the corner. Here goes Bijan Robinson. Keeps his feet. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown Atlanta. Oh, my goodness. The math on this one is easy. 81 to the house.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. The MVP did play last night, but he wasn't wearing 17. He was wearing 7. This is the Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She is a tofu-tasting queen of improv and the first lady of Atlanta baseball. And maybe she can tell us about double plays. Miss Allie Mack, and behind the glass, the one and only Dylan Dylan Matthews. So, what do you guys want to talk about?
I was going to say, the only double play we'll be talking about is the combination of Drake London and Bijan Robinson. That's the, that's the only double play I plan on talking about. Allie, I do got to give Bo credit for one thing.
Yes.
We had a person walk up to us at the Mercedes-Benz Club last night, and he goes, "Are you Michael? Don't ask him what the piece is."
No way.
But you know what the best part is? He's like, "I listen to you, you guys, and that guy that always says rise and shine."
Yeah.
Mike goes, "You mean Bo?"
Mean
and like
Bo?
Points to me.
Have you met my friend Bo?
I love it. The things people pick up on and what gets you implanted in your brain is always so fascinating. Why don't we go around the room and give out how many hours of sleep we got last night? Because I'm pretty sure I got the most out of all of us.
I hope so.
I think I got around 4. I fell asleep around 1, and I did wake up a couple times, but then I woke up, 5:20?
Oh, goodness. Mike, what did you get?
I'm trying to do the math.
Yeah.
I think around 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Right around 4. I think Grant and I went off air at 12:30-ish. Probably was asleep by 1, I'd have to say. And, yeah, I probably woke up around 5 o'clock.
Dylan, what about you?
I woke up late and still only got 3. So,
I don't
get
know.
You an air mattress.
I don't know who it was, but I would thank you to one of the two people in this of the 4 of us because someone turned the light off in the bullpen. I didn't know if it was Mike or Dylan.
It was me, and at that point, Grant looked at me and goes, "Well, I guess it's time for me to go." I was like, it's bedtime around here,
and I was like, I don't know who just did that, but between Dylan and Mike, I got to thank one of them. I was like, because that light went off, and it helped me because I could not wind down. Like, I was completely amped.
Yeah,
you can still thank Allie and I because we did keep the light off when we got here. We worked for the dark. We worked in the dark a little bit for you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate. Didn't have to, but appreciate it.
And I'll give a massive shout out to Turtle last night as he was doing the flyover. I was walking out and he was walking in. He goes, "Hey, I won't let the door. I won't let it close hard so it wakes you up when I leave." I was like, "Oh, dude, huge shout out for that."
How sweet.
Did you almost go, "How you know? How'd you know?"
Well, I told him last time, I was like, "I know this is going to sound like a diva comment, but please gently shut the door on your way out because it will rattle this entire floor if you don't."
Well, I can guarantee nobody shut the door gently leaving the Bills locker room last night.
Oh, no, probably not.
There you go.
Let's get into that, but first let's get you caught up on what's been going on. Since we last got to chat, all 4 of us, the Hawks beat the Heat last night, 119-118 in the preseason. Dodgers beat the Brewers in Milwaukee, 2-1 for the first game of the NLCS. Game 2 is tonight at 8:08. Game two of the ALCS, not quite as close. Mariners beat the Blue Jays 10-3. Mariners have a 2-0 lead in the series. Game three is tomorrow in Seattle. The Tennessee Titans have fired their head coach, Brian Callahan. Chicago Bears beat the Commanders by a field goal last night, 25-24. And of course, the win we are celebrating all day long. Falcons 24-14 took down Buffalo at home last night, putting them at 3-2 for the season.
Yeah, there's just so many different aspects to get to. But I think the main takeaway for me as we moved throughout the postgame show last night was the defense. I know that it was there's all kinds of stats to throw around about Bijan, about Drake, about Michael Penix, about everything out. There's storylines galore on offense, but how many times did we continue to put the defense up to bat in the second half? And I mentioned this to Grant last night on the postgame show. There's a lot of credit due, like I said, to Bijan, this offense, Zach Robinson. But you had 21 points like 20 minutes into this game. Mm-hmm. And you held on all the way through the end because you could put you kept putting it back in the hands of your defense against the literal reigning MVP of the NFL. And they kept rising up to the occasion and getting it done.
A nice verbiage. This game started out like a shootout, and then all of a sudden, and Wes said it perfectly, a game that started out like a shootout turned into a three-and-out fest. It felt like, yeah, your offense kind of, they made adjustments. The loss of Jake Matthews for the entire second half, it looks like a high ankle. I don't know. No one's told me that. I can tell you who was holding his high ankle area went off the field, and it was labeled an ankle. I felt it hurt the Falcons' offense in the second half. It makes you a little, you know, there's trust. You're dropping back to pass with a good, a guy like Joey Bosa and AJ Epinesa and Rousseau, and asking two essential third and fourth string tackles to protect your franchise guy. It changes things a little bit. Changes maybe the plays, the routes you can run. But the defense was out of its mind. The defense for the fifth straight game to start the season held the opponent under 300 yards. I don't know. Have we allowed a 200-yard passer? I'm not sure, honestly. Maybe Mariota late in the game. You again, four sacks. You say defense, you're right on. One more. A lot of people in this city, including on this radio station, moaned and groaned when he hired his buddy, Jeff Ulbrich. And his buddy, Jeff Ulbrich, just had a game plan that made the MVP reigning MVP look as bad as he maybe has looked since his rookie year. They sent pressure 56% of the time, getting four sacks and six quarterback hits.
Yeah. And again, I don't know what anybody else on the radio station said about the Ike Hilliard deal, but you do have to give Raheem Morris an immense amount of credit. Coming off the Carolina game, right, as bad as they looked offensively, as out of sync as the wide receivers looked with everything else that was going on, and he just simply goes, this is not going to work. And he lets go of Ike Hilliard. They turn around that that wide receiver room. I know we'll get to Ray-Ray McCloud throughout. You didn't have Darnell Mooney. But, man, watching Casey Washington block, watching David Sills block, watching those guys be put up to bat numerous times and go to work, it's clear to me that whatever Raheem Morris did in that room sent a message that was felt. And you don't have these eye-popping numbers from the rest of the wide receivers other than Drake London, but those guys were going to battle last night in a number of different ways. And so I think you're kind of right on when it comes to giving credit to Raheem Morris and the way they went about this game. It ended up being not a close game, but at no point, am I wrong in this in saying at no point did it feel like the Falcons were going to lose, which is crazy to say.
I feel like maybe everybody was just a little tempered about it, watching.
Waiting on the next thing.
Waiting on something to happen, but it never did.
Yeah.
And that was great.
You missed out on the Drake London touchdown before halftime. You missed the field goal. I mean, it just never felt like we were getting that close.
We will get into the end of the first half sequence. I have no issues with how they handled the clock, how they handled any of that going on. I think it's an interesting point because I agree with both of you. Yeah, I was waiting for something to happen because it's Josh Allen. He's already came back on primetime this year, down double digits. And sorry, but I've sat in the radio booth. I've sat in the stands, and I've sat at home, and I've sat a lot lately in the radio booth and seen teams come back on us when we couldn't seemingly put the nail in the coffin. And I've even seen us put what I thought was nail in the coffin, and then they come down and get a quick touchdown. So when we got on this long drive, I was like, you know, it just felt like the touchdown would ease my the tensions. And you didn't get it. You had to get settled for the field goal. But which, look, you accomplished the goal there. You turned off like maybe 5 or 6 minutes of the clock and put points on the board to make it a two-score game. But then they start going down the field, and you and Allen is doing what Allen does, but they were getting out of bounds, so I was getting a little worried because, you know, you got to get the onside kick. But we don't get to the onside kick because Zach Harrison, they flushed him. Zach Harrison keeps up with the play, deflects the ball, and you get the interception. And then you're like, is it over?
Yeah,
it's over.
Wait,
is it really over?
Can we breathe?
Yeah, also shout out to the awful announcing Twitter account where the intern ran last night, where they said that the Bills jumped offsides to give the Falcons a first down, apparently, so they could burn through their three timeouts. Not sure why that was the case, but okay.
Yeah, it's just a unique way of looking at it. We got to get a break. I was having the same conversation with Grant last night. We're watching the Commanders game and the Bears, and it's like Bears force a fumble. I was like, the Bears didn't force anything. It was pouring down rain, and the ball slipped out of Jaden Daniels' hand and fell on the ground. Like, there was no forced anything. It was completely on Jaden Daniels. But, you know, anyways.
We are going to be celebrating this win all morning long. We would love for you to join us in that 404-726-0929. The phone lines will be open all morning. Give Dylan a call. Get on air with us, 404-726-0929. Coming up, like I said, Victory Tuesday continues next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
And look,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come in now at the barrel of the pistol with Penix. Algier with Robinson flanked out to the left. Bijan in motion here to the nearest side. Going to hand it to Algier. Here goes Tyler. Bang! 10, 5, and it falls on the board.
Rob
touchdown!
The big boy.
He banged away at a man at the 15 and then just dropped the hammer into four-wheel drive.
He looked like he went and found him, Wes.
Golly, Pete.
It is Victory Tuesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, Dylan's hanging out behind the glass, and taking your calls all morning at 404-726-0929. Falcons beat the Buffalo Bills here at home 24-14. We can't say it enough. Michael Penix was 20 of 32 for 250 yards and a touchdown. Bijan Robinson, I mean, he had an 81-yard touchdown run as part of his 238 scrimmage yards, the second highest single-game total this season in the NFL. How did he not fall down? How did he not fall down when he was grabbed from behind? He just kept going. Yeah.
Because he's the Matrix.
He is the Matrix. I thought it was a nice job. Arch and Wes always do a nice job of kind of highlighting his balance. And it's just, it's insane. It really is. It's next level. It is... I'm glad the NFL world had a chance to watch that on primetime last night.
Well, let's go out to the phone lines. We are taking your calls all morning, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tony Indicator. What's going on, Tony?
Yes, hey, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I called yesterday and they said, do you think the Falcons playoff team? I said, I don't know, but I said, they beat Buffalo. I said, they're a playoff team. So I'm now the Falcons are a playoff team, caliber team. You know, I'm critical when they don't do good. Let's be complimentary when they do good.
Attaboy, Tony.
They did very well. I'm always critical. Number 20, I got to compliment D. Alford. Number 20 did well. The team did well. I'm fired up, and I'm going to stay fired up because they really looked good last night. Thank you for taking my call. Let's go Falcons.
Appreciate you, Tony.
That's beautiful, man.
I said it in pregame. We need to. I'm glad he brought up number 20, D. Alford. We need to talk about D. Alford because D. Alford was basically left. I don't want to say left for dead, but basically he was sent packing by many of the fan base and people that cover this team after the end of last season, and it was a rough end of the season. But so far this year, he's been as important and valuable to anyone in your secondary that you have, and I'll tell you why. Because A.J. Terrell goes down in that Minnesota game. I think it was the first half, Mike, end of the first half.
Yeah.
And D. Alford steps on the outside and plays 2.5 games in the outside corner position and actually does pretty good. For as bad as the game in Charlotte was, that he did a pretty good job on Tetteroa and McMillan and held him under 100 yards, and that guy has been phenomenal this year. He was out playing on the on an island in this defense at times in a passing defense that hasn't allowed a 200-yard passer yet. And then last night, Bowman can't go, and he slides back into the position that he played primarily last year and that he actually competed for the job and lost.
Yeah.
And all he did was fill in with a sack and an interception and made plays all over the field. So it's a great point by Tony to bring it up.
Yeah, and look, I'll follow up on that. And you said, some of the fans and by the people that cover this team, let's be honest. Billy Bowman was drafted to beat out D. Alford. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just the fans, it wasn't just the media. This coaching staff replaced D. Alford as well. And he didn't take that as a sign to tuck tail and try to find another situation. He took that as a sign that I'm going to come in and work and I'm going to, find a spot on this team. And he absolutely has done that.
And he comes into the interview with Arch, and I'm not doing it. I'm just standing there producing it. And Arch, take us through. And he goes, I don't know the name of the player, but number 25 for Buffalo made the exact same play last week against them. I mean, New England made the exact same play against them. He goes, I saw it on film. So when I saw it, I knew it. I knew that I had an opportunity, and he took it. Dude, you can be limited physically. I mean, you got to have some physical gifts in the NFL, but the mental IQ, the football IQ, and the studying and the film review and being the, Ricardo Allen was the guy that literally – made his name on this team years ago, a DB, a corner moved to safety because of his film study and his football IQ. Now he's a coach somewhere. That's what D. Alford is showing me right now. And he's not a backup. I mean, he's not a starter necessarily, but he's sure as hell ready to be one. And he's been one for more times than not this year, 3 of the 5.
Well, let's go back out to the phone lines. We've got Randy in McDonough. Good morning, Randy.
Randy! Let's go!
Hey, Mike, what up, my boy?
Hey, man, let's go!
What's up? Hey, how many points I told you we was going to score yesterday? That's all we needed, man. Hey, look, man. Hey, that was a dominant first half, guys. I'm not sure if y'all really saw what was going on. That was a dominant first half. We got them out to run early. They tried to sneak back in it after we didn't get that touchdown before half. But after that, we settled in, man, and our defense really stepped up and finished the game off for us, man. And I don't know if y'all noticed, everywhere that Jesse Bates is, Watts is right behind him. Everywhere. So, man, I got trust in that defense, man, because we've been led by Ellis and Bates, man. So, hey, that's a good win. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm out.
Hey.
Rise
up. Let's go, man.
What a phenomenal, phenomenal call there. You can also call in 404-726-0929. I feel like everyone's going to have a little pep in their step today.
I feel it. Eventually I probably will. Still kind of a little bit groggy from the air mattress, but we're waking up. We're getting the vibes rolling. I want to go back to D. Alford for just one second, Bo, and talk about that because I think that is such a good point by you and such a massive part of the continuity of this secondary and of this defense. And I wondered going to the game, you and I talked about it on pregame, right, about Billy Bowman being out and how our defense at times last week used kind of that 5-1 formation. Remember we talked about it where they were bringing Billy Bowman into the box, they were bringing Jesse Bates into the box on each side of Divine Diablo. I wondered if, given the circumstances with D. Alford, he's a little bit more slight than a Billy Bowman, not quite the, physical stature of a Billy Bowman. They didn't even hesitate to use him in situations like that last night. Now, it called for a little bit more 22 personnel out of Buffalo. Obviously, Kincaid being injured, they go to a fullback set. But I thought that he did a really good job when asked to play in the box of at least throwing his body around and trying to play with physicality. And that's just another element of his game that I'm not sure that we really knew was there and what was being asked of him last year.
Yeah, and, I think it is more physical than what was asked him in the past. I want to give he named two leaders on the defense. Can I say Leonard Floyd's name? Because I think Leonard Floyd and David Onyemata are doing a pretty good job as the elders on the defensive line. And Jalen Walker and James Pierce are making plays. I don't know if it's the stat sheet plays that you feel like you're obligated to see, but they're making plays.
Yeah.
They're playing with discipline. There was one point last night on that third down that they're at midfield. I think it was in the second half, and Allen rolls to his left, and he's going to run for the first down, and all of a sudden he sees number 11 closing, and he tries to flick it over, and it falls incomplete. It's a play that we normally see him make. That play was made by Jalen Walker out there. Now, the flush, he was flushed, that's different, but Jalen Walker being there, the James Pierce and Jalen Walker are playing with a lot more discipline right now than they did early.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of plays that stick out like that, and I think we've got kudos probably all day, but Divine Diablo had a play where Josh Allen's rolling right, and he gets outside of the pocket, and he actually probably gained, I don't know, 3 or 4 yards, but Divine Diablo with his speed and angle, I just kept thinking to myself, if this is last year's defense, I don't know that we stopped that for less than a 10-yard gain. But Divine Diablo's ranginess, and it's all we talked about when he was signed. It's like, dude, this is a 4-4 guy, used to play safety. Just seeing the angle he took at Josh Allen, and Josh Allen sees him coming and kind of stops his feet and is like, oh, I need to make a cut here. This guy's closing really quickly. And it's just one of those things where I know that if you go to last year's defense, Josh Allen's probably stiff-arming whoever it is coming from the linebacker spot, and he's probably getting 10 more yards up the sideline. But nope, had to stop, had to try to cut back. He's tackled for a minimal gain, and I felt like that was the story of the game last night.
Yeah, I don't think Lamon gets there back in the day. Also, give Divine Diablo the attaboy for the no-look deflection.
Oh, yeah, the over-the-shoulder.
Because that's a dime.
That was early in the game.
And that's a dime, and Diablo sees – I think it was Knox. He sees his hands. He shows his hands briefly, like real quick. He flashes them, and Diablo's like, nah!
Yeah, put the eagle wings up. Help me. The next play is the next play after that was the one right there again where Raheem had to challenge it right in front of the Falcons bench. That was a good throw over the shoulder.
What a dime he threw.
That was incredible.
Everything was just so, so incredibly exciting last night. We've got one more call we can get to right now. T from South Fulton. Good morning, T. What's going on?
Come on, T.
Man, good morning, man. I'm so fired up this morning, man. That stadium was on fire last night.
Let's go.
Shout out to Jeff Albrick for having that defense ready to go to war. Man, I almost sold my tickets yesterday. But the wife was like, let's just go to the game. And when I got in that stadium, I was ready to go, too. Hey. So shout out to Jeff Albrick for having that defense ready to go to war, man.
Shout
I appreciate y'all.
Shout out to your wife for saying, nah, we're going to the game.
I was going to say, man, there were quite a few people that evidently opted to sell their tickets. But I'm glad that you didn't, T. So that was good. I had people ask me what the stadium split was last night. I don't know. I just know that the Bills fans were rowdy. They were rowdy and they were loud.
Remember when I said it felt like it could feel like an SEC championship game?
Yeah.
I don't think it was quite that. It was not that split. We still had the majority, but it was too close for comfort.
Yeah.
But all it means is that a lot of people went home unhappy and the majority didn't.
It was hard to tell who had the split. And the only way you could start to kind of break it apart is when the flags started, when Falcons fans started getting out the flags.
Yeah.
And I quickly was trying to take a head count like, where are we at? Where are we at?
Allie, I'm biased because we sit where our booth is on the visitor's side because of the way they've set the field up. So it does feel like, man, well, these Bill fans here, but they represented. And there's a lot to live in this city.
Yeah, there is. And, you know, it's the same conversation. We talk about some of the blue bloods in the NFL. It's an easy plane flight.
Mm-hmm,
some of these guys were out there tailgating, you know, 11 o'clock yesterday. It's big kudos then, but again, keep coming back around to it. Kudos to the Falcons for sending them home with a loss. Baby.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to. Let's go.
I saw on one of my girlfriend's stories on Instagram, she's from New York, and some restaurant here in Atlanta was making it snow yesterday for the Bills Mafia.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? So this is actually going to play into my Mac drop coming up at 6:40. But this Friday, you can come to McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers for a special edition of The Morning Shift. We're going to be having breakfast and previewing the weekend's big college and pro football action, and you can join us. It's Friday from 6 to 9 at the McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers with The Morning Shift. That's us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, We're going to get into some college football headlines. A lot of fallout from the weekend. Like I said, I've got a mission for our Falcons fans. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's see how many come here. Here's Allen up in the pocket. Atlanta trying to shadow him. He'll move to his left. He's going to throw. He got intercepted. And that ball is down on the play. And that's D'Angelo Malone after Zach Harrison deflected it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan at 641. 24-14. That's the score we care about today with the Falcons' victory Tuesday over the Bills. They're now 3-2 with three victories over teams that were in the playoffs last season. The Bills, Commanders, Vikings.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to go back and look. I think it bears mentioning as well that, you know, we were coming into this game talking about the defense and talking about them being, you know, the number one defense in the NFL and in a couple of categories. And it was like, well, you've played this team, you've played this team. Guys, we're five games in, and we've played the number one and number two quarterbacks in terms of odds to win the MVP. That's where we're at right now. So you can talk about the people that we have played or missing Jay and Daniels or whatever it is. That's the product you're seeing on the field defensively, and we've held both those guys in check.
I think that we need to stop with the backup stuff in general. Well, they didn't have so-and-so. They didn't have so-and-so. I mean, the NFL is pretty close. Now, look, quarterback is one position you can see a gap. But we played with our third and fourth string tackles last night for over half the game. And, you know, we're playing, we're missing guys too. They're missing guys. You know, when save me the backup quarterback stuff if guys like Justin Jefferson aren't playing, right? Yeah. You know, guys like Tedrone McMillan aren't playing. Guys like Deebo Samuel aren't playing. If those guys aren't playing, okay, you can talk about it. But not to allow a 200-yard passer in this era of the NFL through the first five games, not to allow a team over 300 yards total offense in the first five games in an offensive era of the NFL is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
To take the reigning MVP, who has been, you know, no matter what, gets his, and to say, no, you got 14 points, under 100, you know, two interceptions. That's a performance.
Yeah, and not only that, and let me just mention this, and then we're going to college football. Guys, you pressured him. This was their starting five offensive line. No injuries. Like, this is their group, and this was the group. They had nicknames for these guys all over the broadcast last night. This is their starting five. Day one starting five. This is them at 100%, and you got this pressure in their face.
Well, let us enjoy the win today. We don't need to poke holes or say backups were in, anything like that. And now we're going to shift gears a little bit and go into college football. Guys, there was so much fallout from this weekend of college football. I want to go back to a few games we were talking about yesterday, like Georgia winning over Auburn 20-10. We really just covered the nuts and bolts yesterday. Do you think the refs cost Auburn the game?
I think the refs were bad. And I actually think Drew Butler did a good job with Mark Zeno yesterday talking about, I think the refs were awful all the way around. I think there was a lot of things that went both ways. Again, we talked about the goal line play. I didn't see it break the plane. I just didn't. I think it was a good call on the field. But this thing, timeout,
right.
clap. Like, come on, man. Like, it was crazy to me that afterwards that Kirby doubled down on that. It was you can watch my lips. I'm like, what?
I don't have a problem with Kirby doing whatever it takes to win the game, but don't tell me what I'm seeing is not what I'm seeing. And also, don't defend it, fan base. The other thing is find me the Auburn guy on film that's clapping.
He's out there.
I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
The safety's clapping. It was very quick. It was like three claps. It was what set the chain of events in motion. But it was like this. And then it was Kirby streaking down the sideline calling timeout.
Yeah.
The fact that they were able to allow him, and Kirby said he didn't have to, we were going to get the playoff anyways.
Uh-huh.
It ain't like it wasn't close, big dog.
No.
The complaint clock was at one when you called timeout, and you did call timeout.
Let's be honest, Mike. There's a reason why I sit on the trainer's table at the end of the game and shouted at the Georgia fans, we stole one, because they did. Look, but kudos to Kirby, because that's what he does. That's why every time you're like, yeah. What do you think? Georgia, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn. I'm like, which one's Kirby on the sideline for? I'll take that team.
Let me ask you this question, though. Has he burned up this chance? Like, is he ever going to be able to get away with it again where he's like, I didn't call a timeout?
Well,
no way. Like, I feel like that chance is gone.
Depends on if he gets another incompetent crew, and there's a couple of them out there. So, yeah, there's a chance.
Possibly.
There's always a chance, right? James Franklin, as you know, was fired from Penn State after that loss to Northwestern. Is he going to be better off with Penn State? What does his future look like?
Well, he's got $49 million in the bank, but he has one caveat. He has to try to look for a job, whether in broadcasting or coaching. Look, I'm not going to tell you I don't get it, but you just fired a guy that won 10 games every freaking year. And there's not a lot of guys. Those guys don't grow on trees in college football right now. Trust me. I know.
Yeah. So you think it was wrong for him to fire him? I don't mind. I didn't mind the fire.
I would have done it differently. I would have let this. I think he was there for quite a long time. He did a lot for your program. It was very un-Penn State-like. I mean, this guy, they were going to let Joe Paterno coach from in the ICU if he had been in there. I mean, he was like 87, almost 87 out there coaching. It did seem a little different from them, but I can't say it was wrong. I just don't think I would have done it in season. It's not really a Penn State type move.
Have you seen the report out there? And I think this was from, I'm trying to get the newspaper right, that there's a report out there that Adidas is the one that pulled the string on this.
Yeah, that's a message board thing. I don't believe it.
No, there's an actual newspaper that put it out. I have to find it was like the Pittsburgh Gazette or something like that.
Yeah,
that put that out.
I don't believe that. I find a hard.
You the conspiracy theorist? You don't believe in this thing?
I find a hard time believing that you're going to tell me just because some of the money you're throwing into the program where I could get from Nike, I could have stayed with Nike, whoever, that you're going to tell me how to run my program. I don't know, man. You just don't fire coaches in college football these days.
I don't think that they told him to fire him. I'm just saying that I think that they paid part of the buyout money. They were like, hey, if you want to, here's a little extra coin. I don't find that hard to believe at all.
I would say that it's more likely because of the extra money coming in that they had it to use than that.
I'm disappointed in you, man. I thought for sure he'd go for this.
Yeah. But what a weird precedent that would set, too, though.
It would be an awful precedent, and that's why everybody's denying it.
That's why I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I just don't. Look.
This was the government you'd believe it. I can't believe you.
If it was a... Maybe, yeah. Well, I mean, they've done things. So has Penn State.
I was going to say.
But here's my deal. Here's my deal. And to that point, that's why I don't think it's true. Penn State, who does what they want and is covered stuff up at times and doesn't necessarily want someone to tell them how to run things, is suddenly going to give up control.
You just said they've covered things up.
Yeah, but there's one thing. You're selling your soul to someone to allow them to have control over you at that point. And they've always been able to control their own narrative. That's why they've been able to cover stuff up.
All right, one last quick question for you guys, and I might make some people mad with this one, but we've been seeing some wild games with Georgia and Alabama this season. Is it possible that Ole Miss and Texas A&M are more likely to make it to Atlanta?
I think it's a conversation we had. Well, obviously, we got to see what plays out with Georgia this weekend, but Ole Miss, that's a game they won last year. And, of course, it's going to be different playing that game in Athens. But I will say this. I don't think we give Texas A&M the credit they deserve for being the team they are. That win over Notre Dame, I'm going to make sure I've got this right, that might be the best non-conference win that the SEC has, period. Right? Am I Is that crazy for me to say? I'm trying to think back through all the non-conference games that the SEC has had.
I think
that's probably the best non-conference victory that the SEC has, and that's a big one for Texas A&M.
It's not crazy to say because who's Notre Dame's two losses to?
Miami and Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Pretty good teams.
Yeah, and they haven't lost since. And A&M, look, A&M's got a little bit – they have LSU in Baton Rouge, and then they have Texas in Austin. That's it. I mean, I'm not discounting Missouri in Como, as you call it.
Yeah.
And or having the home game against South Carolina, but they look – they're as good up front now. They're pretty good. Florida manhandled Texas a week ago, and they go to A&M, and they manhandled Florida's offensive line up front.
Yeah.
Especially Cassius Holloway. Yeah. I believe is his name.
It's a good unit, man. It's a good unit. They play hard. So I don't know about Ole Miss. We'll find out this weekend, but I definitely don't think A&M's getting the credit they deserve. And they don't play Alabama or Georgia, I believe. So that's going to be crazy to see how that kind of all pans out.
And game day will be there in Athens this weekend.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a big
Ole Miss
one.
Game.
That's a big one.
And Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I have a mission for our Falcons fans. Because looking at the crowd last night, you guys were there, so you know a little bit better than me. But it seemed like we were pretty rowdy.
Yes, they were.
Kind of a split, but we were pretty rowdy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I found this list. We're going to do this like Family Feud.
Okay.
I found this list of the top rowdiest fan bases. So the top five. Try to guess who they are.
Well, the Bills are going to be involved in that.
They are number two.
Yeah, Raiders.
They're number two? The Bills are number two?
Bills are number two. Raiders are number four.
Okay.
Rowdiest fan base.
Philadelphia, number one, probably.
Philadelphia is number one.
Okay.
Thanks to Dylan and his big champs.
Big champs.
I was going to say, I'm not an Eagles fan, obviously, but I knew the Eagles were probably
going to be. How about, let's throw in Cleveland.
Nope, not Cleveland.
Okay.
I don't know if they're rowdy, but I know San Francisco's had some run-ins at times with people. I don't know if they're going to make the list, but there's been violence at San Francisco games.
Yeah,
before.
What about?
I got one. How about are the Chiefs on there?
They're not.
Wow. All right, Steelers.
Steelers are number five.
Let's go.
You got one more.
I find it odd that the Steelers on there and the Browns aren't. And I'm not discrediting it.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that. Which number are we
number
missing?
Number three.
Number three is the one we're missing.
Seahawks?
It's got to be an NFC Norris team, like a Vikings.
It's not
or,
Bengals,
it's a
though.
Very small market.
Green Bay?
Green Bay.
Good pull.
They are number three.
Are they rowdy, though?
They're rowdy, but they're night and day from how they treat people than Philadelphia.
They're like rowdy, like, but like in a Fargo way.
But well, I think it's like
Midwestern way.
They're very recognizable with the cheese heads. Yeah, and for being such a small market, they are everywhere.
Yeah.
But when I was looking over this list, like my mind, I was thinking, why are we nowhere on this? Like we weren't even in the top 10.
Yeah, well, no, we're never going to get because those stadiums, those teams you just talked about, there's no such thing as a 60-40 split on the Monday Night Football game in their stadium.
Yeah, not only that, those teams have been around for centuries.
Yeah,
you know, I have so many more questions about this list. Like, how are the Bears not on there? Like, that would have been one that I would have gone with.
I think the Chiefs not being on there is odd because my welcome to the NFL on the road was 2012, and we pulled in and like it's a huge tailgate. You're getting flicked off. Those people remember that Miami playoff game a few years ago, where they came to Kansas City and it was like -20 degrees and the Chiefs fans were didn't have shirts on and some people left there with like...
Yeah, some people lost a finger,
yeah,
right?
There were people that they went to the hospital.
Frostbite.
Oh, goodness. If you want to go through the top 10 real quick, we can.
Yeah, please sure. do.
10 is New England. 9 is the Chiefs.
Okay.
Then at 8, you have Ravens.
Huh.
7 is the Seahawks.
They are pretty rowdy.
That's
a good place.
And then
play.
6, you guys haven't even mentioned this one, the Cowboys.
They're not rowdy. They're just bandwagon. They're everywhere.
I think
they're
it's the passionate. Strength in numbers.
I think that a better word for this list is passionate. You know, like I don't think rowdy. Like when I think rowdy, I don't think of Green Bay. I think they're passionate.
I don't even think the Cowboys fans are passionate because when the Cowboys lose,
they're passionate.
And they lose, they just put on their Lakers jersey or their Yankees jersey.
Yeah. I don't know. They're pretty passionate.
We could ever make a list like this?
I think you have to. I
hope one day.
I think you have to win a Super Bowl in this town for that list.
You have to. Yeah,
because we have to.
That's a good point. You have to create generational fandom.
Because we had, I think everyone can look back on the Thomas Dimitroff, Dan Quinn, Mike Smith, and Matt Ryan era,
yeah,
however you want. But in the reality, it is the golden era of Atlanta Falcons football.
Yeah.
It's the only era that we've had sustained success, back-to-back winning seasons, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you went to a Super Bowl, lost it, and then we're in the divisional round of the playoffs the next year. We need more of that. I think you could get there because look what the Braves have as a fan base and a passion, but the Falcons and the Hawks haven't been able to put it together to create that sustained winning success, to create that passion and rowdiness.
Well, I want to see us on this list.
So do I.
So do I.
All right. Well,
let's lead the charge, Allie.
Let's do it.
Starts today.
All right. Coming up, we are going to talk about last night's win, Falcons win. Bijan had a huge night, and our phone lines are open. 404-726-0929. It's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.